Well, good morning, everyone. I know you've heard this probably many times over the years, but I'll ask it again. Why are we here? Well, we have come to the place that God has chosen to place His name. Why? Well, let's look for some answers. Psalm 14. Psalm 14, verse 1 says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." And if you listen to the news, there seems to be more and more fools every day. Because more and more people want to say there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. You know, God is looking down here, and He sees people going up and down the road today. And what do they have in their mind? TGIF. They don't really thank God, but they're just glad the weekend is here and they can do their own thing. They're not concerned about obeying God, seeking God, trying to understand God. They just want to do their own thing. But God is looking down at this place and those with understanding are here to seek Him. You are here to seek God. Psalm 27. Verse 8. "When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, 'Your face, Lord, I will seek.'" When God said, "Come to the Feast of Tabernacles," did you say, sorry, I'm busy. I have to work. I got things to do. And it really isn't all that important anyway." No, you didn't say that. When God said, "Be here," you said, "From the heart, your face, Lord, I will seek." One more psalm, Psalm 105. Psalm 105 and verse 1. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him. Sing psalms to Him. Talk of all His wondrous works. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore." What will we be doing for 8 days? Singing to Him? Talking of all His wondrous works? Calling upon His name? Making known His deeds? Glorying in His name? Seeking His strength. Let your heart rejoice if you seek the Lord. You are commanded to come here before God and rejoice. So if you are here to seek God, then rejoice even more. Leviticus chapter 23, as you all are familiar with, gives the holy days that Terry mentioned yesterday. Leviticus 23 and verse 39 says, "Also on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep a feast to the Lord for 7 days. On the first day there should be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day there should be a Sabbath. And you shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of beautiful trees, the branches of palm trees, the boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. You shall keep it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. You shall dwell in booths or tabernacles, temporary dwellings, for 7 days. All who are native Israelites shall dwell in booths. So shall all who are spiritual Israelites, because we have to keep the law. That your generations may know that I made the children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt, I am the Lord your God. So why are we dwelling in booths, temporary dwellings? Why are we doing this? Because, he says, that we may know and that the generations may know that he made the children of Israel dwell in booths when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. Well, why did he make them dwell in booths? For one reason. To show them they were not home yet. They crossed the Red Sea. They watched the Egyptians drown. But it wasn't time to start building houses and planting crops. They were on a journey. They had a place to go. They weren't home yet. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8 says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. And God came to him one day and said, get up, get out, get away from your family, away from your relatives, go to a place that I will show you. And Abraham obeyed. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. He was living in the promised land. But it was like a foreign country. He was dwelling in tents. Abraham was a rich man. He didn't build himself a mansion. He lived in tents, tabernacles, temporary dwellings. Because he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And we are heirs of the same promise. And we are doing the same thing. We're waiting for that city from God. Verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And that's what we do. When we are here, we are confessing by what we are doing that we are strangers and pilgrims right here on the earth. You're all aware this is the political season. How can you miss all the ads on TV? And, if you turn the dial, you run into talk radio or talk television. And that's all you hear is politics, politics, politics. And it irritates me and aggravates me and upsets me because I can't do anything about it. And then I have to remember the words of my Savior. My kingdom is not of this world, and neither is mine, and neither is yours. Our kingdom we will inherit at the last trump. But I have to pray every day that God will, in his way, cause the leaders of this world and the leaders of this nation to do his will, that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and that they will do what is best for his people. Because prayer is all we have. A few hundred votes is not going to change an election. Unless God is involved. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And that's what we are doing. We're declaring that we seek a homeland. This isn't our home. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had an opportunity to return. But now, they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. God has prepared something for us. A city. The promised land. The kingdom of God. We're not home yet. We are somewhere between baptism and the promised land. We're in the wilderness. I mean, when we walk out the doors here, we're in the wilderness. It's a desert place filled with evil. That's what the wilderness is. We're not home yet. When we get in the kingdom, we're not home yet. We won't be home until the eighth day, that last great day, which we will hear about, when all of humanity who wills will repent, will be born into the family of God, and the earth will melt with fervent heat, and God will create a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Then we will be home. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 11 says, "Let us therefore be diligent." Now, this is the New King James. I think the original says to labor. This says, "Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience." A diligent is to make every effort to do one's best, as James is talking about. We have to do our best if we want to be there. God doesn't want people who just kind of, you know, skate along with the C average. He wants people who do their best, to try their best. If you fail, you fail. You dust yourself off, you get back up, and God helps you. But you have to try to do your best. Disobedience, as some, I'm being attacked by a fly. Some references will say it's unbelief. And the word is interchanged, if you look in your concordance, between disobey or obey and believe or unbelief. When God tells us something here in his word, we either believe it or we don't. It's just that simple. We either believe it or we don't. And if we believe it, we act on that belief by doing it, by obeying him. Belief with works. Faith in action. If you believe it, you do it. If you don't believe it, then you don't do it. The world doesn't believe in the Sabbath, so they don't do it. We do, so we do it. We prove that we believe it. We show our faith in what we believe by doing it. Ancient Israel did not believe, so they did not obey. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 16 says, "For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief." Ancient Israel did not believe, so they did not obey. Verse 14, "For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end." Our confidence, our faith, our belief. How many people do you know who have given up what they once believed, who used to be with you in services, who are no longer there? They're either back in the world or they're going to church on Sunday and making some excuse as to why they're in church on Sunday. They have rejected what they believed. And where are they? They are out there waiting for the fulfillment of the scripture which says, "Come out of her, my people, or suffer the consequences." Someday in the near future, that will be the case. If they don't come back, they will not be partakers of Christ. They will partake of the plagues. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, which is the millennium, in case you're not familiar, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the words which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. They had the gospel preached to them. But they'll be in the last and second resurrection. We have the gospel preached to us. And we will be in the first resurrection. The difference is faith. We believe. They didn't. They didn't believe it, so they didn't obey. So the first will be last, and the last will be first. They heard it first, we heard it last. But we'll be in the first resurrection. We read these things. We read, as Terry went through the plagues in Egypt. We read about the plagues. We read about the Exodus, how they walked through the Red Sea, the world's biggest aquarium. And you can only kind of picture what it had to be like. They followed this pillar of fire and this pillar of smoke. And they followed to the mountain that quaked and heard the voice of God and were petrified. We read these things and we believe it. They lived it and didn't believe it. They actually saw, as they were walking through the Red Sea, the fish come right up next to them. They saw this huge pillar of fire. They heard God's voice coming from the mountain. They were scared to death. They didn't want to hear it anymore. They thought they were all going to die. And then they said, "Let's go back to Egypt." God says, "Obey my voice," and they couldn't do it. They had absolutely no faith, even though they were living it and seeing it. They could not accept what they were seeing. Shortly, there's going to be a beast and false prophet who are going to do all kinds of lying wonders, and the world is going to believe it. But the two witnesses of God are going to bring us the truth of God, and the world will reject it. Now, it's hard to imagine, but we have the example of the children of Israel, how it's right in front of their eyes. And they wanted to turn around and go back to Egypt. So if we keep the faith that was once delivered, if we hold on to the faith, our confidence, steadfast, firm to the end, we will enter that rest. In chapter 3, verse 6, it says, "But Christ is a son over his own house, whose house we are." We are God's house. He says, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and my Father and I will come and make our home with you." Paul says, "Know you not that you are the temple of God?" God is in us. We are his house. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope, firm to the end. We have this confidence. We have this rejoicing. We have this hope because we have a covenant with God, a better covenant established on better promises, but the same law. John chapter 6, I know you're familiar with all these verses, but John chapter 6, Jesus says in verse 54, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." And together with that is Matthew 26 and 26. "As they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.'" So by doing so, we partake of Christ. Christ is in us, and we are in him. So, why are we here? Let's look at Exodus 34. Exodus chapter 34, a couple of verses. Exodus chapter 34 and verse 27. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Write these words, for according to the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel.' So he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments." God wrote the Ten Commandments himself, but all the rest of the words of the covenant he told Moses to write during those 40 days. What was in that covenant? Verse 18, "The feast of unleavened bread you shall keep. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread." Verse 21, "6 days you shall work, but on the seventh day you shall rest." Verse 22, "And you shall observe the feast of weeks, the first fruits of the wheat harvest, and the feast of ingathering at the year's end, the feast of tabernacles." We have this hope because we have a covenant with God, an agreement. You do this, and I will do this. That's an agreement. The holy days, the Feast of Tabernacles, are part of that agreement, part of that covenant that we agreed to when we were baptized, we had hands laid on us, and we partake of Christ. We agreed to do these things. If we don't do them, then what is God's answer to us when we ask for him to keep his end of the agreement? It gives him all the right to say, "No, you didn't do your part. Why should I do mine?" We are to be diligent. We are to do our best if we expect him to do the same. Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy 31. And verse 9. "So Moses wrote this law and delivered it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, 'At the end of every 7 years, at the appointed time in the year of release, at the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, You shall read this law before Israel in their hearing. We have come to the place that God has chosen to place His name. God is here. He didn't put His name here and go somewhere else. God is here. He says, where two or three or more are gathered together in my name, I am right there. You have to understand this is real. Just as if there was a pillar of fire over here or an angel stood here in brilliance from heaven. God is here. And you have come here to appear before Him. He says, gather the people together, men and women and little ones, and the stranger who is within your gates, that they may hear and that they may learn to fear the Lord your God and carefully observe all the words of this law, and that their children who have not known it may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land which you crossed the Jordan to possess. It may be something that we need to consider, since the Bible says to do it, to decide which year we're going to call the seventh year, and have the entire ICG theme for the feast being on the law of God. That covers about the whole Bible, because you can't go through the teachings of Christ or the teachings of Paul or Peter or anybody where they haven't mentioned the law. But God says it's important. He wants everyone to know, so no one's without an excuse. No one can say, I didn't know, I didn't hear it. At least among His people, everyone should know. We know, we need to know what is expected of us so we can do our best. So why are we here? We are here to seek God, to obey God, because we believe God. To keep our part of the agreement or the covenant, to confess, we're not home yet. We are strangers and pilgrims. We haven't received our kingdom yet. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we're waiting for our kingdom that we will inherit at the last trump. To rejoice, to sing, to talk of His wondrous works, to thank Him, to praise Him, to glory in His holy name. And as it said here in Deuteronomy, to hear and to learn to fear that one day we may enter that rest.